All right. Well, good morning. It's good to be together. My name's Peter, and just glad you guys are all here today. Last Sunday was actually our outdoor service. I can't believe that was just a week ago, but we were outside, and God kept off the rain. I guess He kept it off till today. It's kind of gloomy. Some people, that's your favorite day. It's not mine. I like the sunshine, but I felt good this morning because I knew I got to be with you guys. And I knew I got to sing to my God and I got to hear His voice in the Bible. And I looked forward to that. So that helps. And last Sunday, it was just really encouraging to me too. We had that outdoor service, but people stuck around. We had lunch together. We fellowshiped together. We were talking. There was a bags tournament last Sunday. For those of you who didn't stick around, we have new champs in town. And Ed Johnson is my witness. Anna and I are the new champions. So it was really fun. I told Ed towards the end of the last game, we were against Kevin and Nick, and I said, I've been waiting a whole year for this game. I was competitive, like giving it everything I could. But it was just so much fun, you know? Like growing up, I remember just after church on Sundays, my folks, they would have people, usually the campus students, over for lunch, and we'd just keep hanging out. And it was fun to just keep being together and just spending that time. And it was just uplifting, just like a service is. This Sunday, though, it's nice to be back because it is raining outside. And, you know, this Sunday, it's actually really special for Anna and I because it marks 1 year that we've been with the Bloomington Church. Yay. So we've officially been here 1 year, and we loved our time with you guys. Amen. This Sunday, we're continuing our series, Summer of Faith. And as you can see, I'm going to talk about David today. Summer of Faith, we've been looking through by faith in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about different people, learning about their faith, their walk with God, and learning to strengthen our own. I'm going to talk about David. You think about David, he was King David. He was the shepherd boy. He was the man after God's own heart. He was the man who killed Goliath. He was the warrior. He was the guy who just inspired and led God's people by having a heart after God's own heart. You know, I just love thinking about David. There's so many stories. There's not enough time, right? There's whole, you know, people have written, like Sam Lang wrote a whole book called Warrior. There's so much other material about David that we can read about. There's so many different moments, like his courage to fight Goliath. You know, his faith in God's love as he bounced back from his sins. I think about the many psalms that just display his heart and just deep love for God. God has put David's integrity on my heart, though, today. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 4 through 5, Solomon had just finished building the temple for the Lord, something David wanted to do, but God told him, no, you will not. And Solomon was chosen. Yep. The Lord comes to King Solomon after he had built the temple, and this is what he says to him. 1 Kings 9, verse 4. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. As I promised David your father, when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. God told Solomon, have integrity. Have integrity of heart like your father David did. David's faith produced integrity. Today we're going to look at a story, and you can turn in your Bibles or flip over in your apps to 1 Samuel 24. And we're going to stay grounded in the story. We'll bounce around a little bit, but this will be the main story we're going to look at. This story shows the integrity in David's faith. See, the book of 1 Samuel, it teaches us about the history of God's people, Israel. And it also teaches us about character. Yeah. The main characters, Hannah, Eli, Samuel, Saul, David, Jonathan, each one give us great character studies. Now, I know when you hear character study, that means different things to different people. A character study allows us to see the character of a person walking with God. and then examine the character in our own hearts. For example, King Saul and his jealousy towards David. And we can examine that and check where our hearts are at with jealousy. Or the story of David and Goliath, and we can learn to have courage to fight for God's honor like David did. In 1 Samuel, before we start reading, there's a little background. You can go back a slide. If you can. Yes, we can. So David, just a little background on David in 1 Samuel. He first comes into the mix. He's talked about in chapter 13. And King Saul, he's just blown it. He's sinned. He's offered sacrifices. That was not something for the king to do. That was for the prophet Samuel when he arrived. And Saul ends up doing that. And Samuel tells him, hey, you're no longer going to be king. God's looked and he's found a man after his own heart. That's the first mention of David. Then in chapter 16, he comes into the picture. He's this shepherd boy. I think he's mentioned as ruddy and handsome. Joseph is another guy. There's like a few guys, they actually like go and they mention that. But he's a shepherd boy. And then also Samuel comes and he's like, where's your other son? Where's your other son? Where's your other son? He's like, well, I got one more in the fields. He's with the flock. We'll call him in. And he's this shepherd boy, David, and Samuel anoints David to be the next king in chapter 16. Later in chapter 16, Saul, he's really just having trouble, and he has David come and play the harp for him. Then in chapter 17, David comes and ends up killing Goliath. Following that, there's all this song, you know, David and his 10,000s, and they sung about it, and Saul's jealous, and he ends up throwing spears at David, trying to pin him to the wall, but he misses. David flees. And where we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel 24 shows David on the run from King Saul. 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 4. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. So we're in the desert of En-Gedi. This is southeast of Jerusalem. It had many caves dotting the hills. And this was a great place for David and his men to hide out. In verse 3, it says there were sheep pens outside the cave. So that indicates that shepherds would use this area, this land. And some of these caves were actually so big that they could shelter a flock if there was a storm. So these caves weren't little. It wasn't just Saul and David in this cave. It was big. It says they were far back in it, in the recesses of the cave. At this point, we believe David had around 600 men with him. The last time it says how many men David had with him was in 1 Samuel 23, the last chapter, and verse 13. It says around 600 men. So imagine, either David has all of his men or most of his men in the recesses of this cave, far back. And we see that David is in the cave, but Saul comes by with 3,000. So five times as many men outside with him. And on their way, Saul, as they're searching for David in this desert, Saul needs to use the bathroom. He's got to stop. He needs to relieve himself, it says. A potty break. The Bible has it all. You know, Saul, he chose to go to the bathroom, but it happened to be the same cave that David and his men were in. What are the odds of that? Was this God arranged? Was God testing David? Was God trying to display David's godly heart? What did David's men say? They looked at this as an opportunity. They're like, oh, the Lord, this is what the Lord had talked about. He's delivered Saul into your hands. They viewed it as a chance for David to kill Saul. Mm-hmm. They were excited about the chance to not have to be fugitives, to not be on the run anymore. Imagine David with his sword or a knife creeping up behind Saul in the cave. As David came close, he doesn't thrust his sword through Saul's back. Instead, he cuts a corner of his robe. Saul had 3,000 men outside, so they're waiting. 3,000 men are not quiet. When men just have to wait for something to happen, they make fun of each other. They sit around, they don't just do nothing, right? They probably had horses with them too. It would have been loud. So Saul not noticing David is not unlikely. Saul also, maybe he laid down his robe when he had to relieve himself. We don't know. We don't know if this was a 1 e or a 2 e. But David decides to spare Saul's life. Enough bathroom jokes. David had faith, right? I believe he had faith in God's promises to put him on the throne of Israel. And it produced integrity in this moment. My only point today is faith produces integrity. David lived out strong moral principles despite challenging circumstances. David knew it was disobedient to God for him to kill Saul, because God put Saul in a position of authority.
Right.
It was God's job to deal with Saul, mm-hmm. not David's. David did not want to take the throne, and he didn't want to come to power from sinfully murdering King Saul.
Yep.
Think about your own faith. Is your faith in God producing a life of integrity? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them. Is your integrity guiding you? I think about David as he's in this cave. He's hiding out. He's on the run for his life. And his integrity was guiding him. His faith in God, his heart for God. He sees this moment and he knows exactly how to respond, because he's walking on that narrow path. He's headed towards holiness. He's focused on God. The integrity of the upright guides them. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. See, David's integrity, it guided him to wait for God to fulfill his promise to put David on the throne.
Yep.
As many of you know, I'm from Champaign, Illinois, not far away, so central Illinois. And when you grow up in central Illinois, you work in cornfields.
Come on, man.
You can't help it. Like, you end up working in cornfields. I worked in cornfields growing up. Raise your hand if you've worked in cornfields. All right, a good amount. Maybe some still are. That's cool. It's really pretty out there. You can see so far. Now, growing up working in cornfields, I didn't just do detasseling. I did cross-pollination. So we would create special breeds of corn. This wasn't just detasseling. This was cross-pollination. We felt special, me and my friends. So I had a group of about 5 or 6 friends, and we worked in the summers in these cornfields. Now, in the cornfields, we did not have integrity. When we worked in the cornfields, we had fun. So, to keep things light, because every day you're seeing corn, I swear there were some nights when I went to bed and I closed my eyes and I saw cornfields. I kid you not, like, that's all you look at all day. It was just always on my mind. So we needed to keep things fun, lighthearted. So what did we do? Well, we had these shoot bags, and they're little bags that you put over the shoot where the corn eventually grows on the plant. And instead, what we would take is these shoot bags, we'd go to our water cooler when our boss wasn't around. And we'd fill them up with water. This was our water to keep us from passing out in the cornfield. And then we'd tie them, or we'd staple them with our staple from our belt. And then we'd have these water balloons. And now the cornfield was like our playground. So we'd be working, but then we'd take these water balloons and just whip them at each other. And it was so much fun. As time went on, we needed to mix it up, though. It was getting boring. Like, we all knew it was coming. So what we do is, you know, me or a buddy, we'd kind of sneak off to the side and we'd go make a few. And then we'd find where they are in the other field or which field they're in. And you'd just be walking along the field and all of a sudden just water balloons just come pelting at you. And you got to react. So you like grab a piece of corn and you throw it back at them. And it was fun. We had fun. We didn't have integrity. I think about my life as a disciple now too, though.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Peter.
And as a disciple, I've wrestled with being a man of integrity at times.
Yeah.
You know, I've lied. I've lusted. I've laughed at coarse jokes. You know, I've been a coward who was afraid to speak up for God. God's forgiven me, though.
Yeah.
He loves me more than I know. And He wants me to keep pursuing integrity. I'll not stop fighting to be the man of integrity God wants me to be. My faith in God produces integrity. It guides me to follow like David, to try to be like David. Let's keep reading in our story in 1 Samuel 24. Verses 5 through 7. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. David was conscience stricken for cutting Saul's robe because Saul's robe was a symbol of Saul's royal authority as king of Israel. David was bothered that he had just done anything against the Lord's anointed. And remember, if you've read 1 Samuel, just earlier, Saul has been throwing spears at David. Not just once, this happened multiple times. All he did was just cut a piece of his robe. But it hurt David. You know, verses 6 and 7, it talks and you hear David's words. And how did it penetrate his men? By those words that he said, "How can I touch the Lord's anointed?" His men were rebuked. Just by his words, they hear David's heart. This heart that is like, man, I just want God. I just love God so much. How could I touch anything? Anyone that he had anointed. Anyone that he had appointed. Like, what can I do? I can't do this. I must do the right thing. Like, I feel terrible about just cutting his robe. As men hear that, his men are like, "Hey, we're going to kill Saul. We're going to no longer be fugitives on the run. This is going to be great." They hear those words and they're like, "Oh my gosh, he's right. He's right. Like, we can't do this. This was so wrong." They hear his heart and they're moved. You know, it's easy to say, "I won't do it." But if someone else does, I can't do anything about that. Not with David. His integrity was contagious. He called his men to have integrity. His example, the way he was living, they were just rebuked by his heart when they heard it. Someone who has integrity teaches others to have the same character. Let's keep reading. 1 Samuel 24, verses 8 through 15. I love this story. It just gets better. 1 Samuel 24, 8. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lift my hand against my master, because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life.
Yep.
May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, 'From evildoers come evil deeds.' So my hand will not touch you."
Yeah.
"Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it.
Yeah.
May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand. We see David leave the cave and follow Saul. He saw it as an opportunity to reconcile their convoluted relationship. He saw it as an opportunity to call Saul to have a change of heart, to integrity. Imagine Saul turning back and looking at the cave that he was just in and seeing David walk out of it. David bows. He shows honor to Saul. And he lets him know, the Lord delivered you into my hands. Men even urged me. They told me to kill you. But I won't touch you. David even proves it. He lifts a piece of Saul's robe.
Come on, Peter.
This was really important. When he sees that robe, there were so many different thoughts I imagine were going through Saul's mind. See, this wasn't the first robe that was torn or cut, even in this book. Earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the prophet Samuel was letting Saul know, you aren't going to be king anymore. And he walks away from Saul. And as he's walking away, Saul doesn't want him to leave, and he grabs the prophet Samuel's robe and it rips. And the prophet Samuel turns to him and he says, the kingdom of Israel is going to be torn away from you. See, and he also told him it would be torn away from you and given to someone better. Now, Saul's looking at a piece of his robe. He's looking at someone better. Someone who is more righteous. Someone who had a heart for God that Saul had lost. He was looking at that piece of robe and God was telling him something. God was telling him, I am taking away the kingdom from you. You are not going to be king. David is going to be king. This was very symbolic. Verse 12, David said, he let him know, let the Lord judge between us. This is another part of his integrity. David was not trying to bring judgment to Saul.
Right.
He knew judgment was for God.
Right.
David said his hand wouldn't touch Saul, but he didn't just say it, he proved it in the cave.
Right.
In the cave, he didn't kill Saul when he had a chance. Psalm 57, verses 1 through 3, talk about David, and you get to hear his prayer while he was in the cave. The header for Psalm 57 says, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Now, David had actually fled from Saul more than once into a cave. This is David's heart in one of those instances. Psalm 57, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God.
Yep.
Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and faithfulness. See, when David was in the cave, his prayer to God was that, God, have mercy. Let me take refuge in your wings. I cry out to you. You will fulfill my purpose. My purpose to one day be king of Israel. And then what does God do? He just asks him, you know, he says, sends from heaven to save him. Rebuke those who hotly pursue. We're seeing that rebuke in Saul right now. God sent his love and faithfulness. That's what was filling David while he was in this cave. See, to have integrity, we don't decide to be the judge. We know that is God's business.
Yep.
To have integrity, we rely on God's protection rather than relying on ourselves. Let's look at the end of the story. 1 Samuel 24, verses 16 through 22. Saul's response to David. 1 Samuel 24, verse 16. When David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me of the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, Does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family. So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Saul, he's moved by this moment. He's moved by David's mercy, David sparing his life. Saul's emotional by David's obedience to God. You know, how does he respond? He wept aloud. He cries out just saying, "David, my son, you're more righteous than I." Saul's been searching, looking for David, wanting to kill him, jealous of him. But what happens when he finally finds him? He's so moved by the heart of David. See, someone with integrity, someone who has a heart for God, it just influences. It's just infectious for everyone around them. Even their enemies were impacted by this. Saul acknowledges that he was wrong, that David's treated him right. And he wants the Lord to reward him for this. Saul honors David's mercy and does not attack David. They leave their separate ways that day. Saul was moved by David's integrity, but it would not stick. If you continue the story, Saul, he attacks again. You know, today's story, it really paints a picture of a deep lesson. Faith produces integrity. Yeah. David was a man who God even said had integrity. The first verse that we read today in 1 Kings 9, God told David's son Solomon, "Have integrity in your faith, just like your father David did. Walk like him." God still wants men to have integrity today. So how do we have integrity today? You know, God's word, it's meant to produce action. We aren't running for our life hiding in a cave. If you were, you wouldn't be here today. You know, we do, however, have chances every day to show integrity. At work, to do our best, even when our boss isn't around. Or if you are the boss, to treat your employees with respect. You know, when we have those moments when we're tempted by sin, instead of choosing sin, we choose to aim for holiness. Yeah. Live for integrity. Die free, no compromise. Have integrity that inspires others, like David, who influenced his soldiers, and Saul. Who are going to be men of God like that today? Who you're around them and you're like, "Man, look at that guy's heart. Like, look at him. His life is just a mess. It's so hard. But he just keeps doing what's right. He keeps going after God. Man, how could I do anything but just try to jump on that path? He's running after Jesus. I need to get right behind him. I need to get right next to him. Look at this man on this narrow path. Look at this man aiming for holiness. I want that." David's life did that. Men around him were transformed. His faith had integrity. His faith was changing lives. God was doing that. Not just molding David, but molding people around him. Let's have faith that does that. When you feel a chance to do what's right, remember David in the cave and choose integrity. Amen.